I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. My text will be verse 9, and I would like to read verse 9. Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. A couple of weeks back, I was passing out flyers for the church, and I went to one house where the owner was outside. And I spoke to him for a few minutes and found out that he was a member at a particular church, and he also told me that he was a Christian. I handed him the card and I went on my way, and I was about 30 feet away, and he shouted out to me, "Hey, do you read your Bible?" Of course, I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Read Joshua 1:9. I replied, "I will." Now, I had a pretty good idea what the verse said, and I knew what the homeowner was doing. He wanted to encourage me in my labor for the Lord. I knew the right away that I was going to preach on this message and this verse. And yes, after I got home, I did read the verse. I was indeed encouraged, and I rejoiced in the Lord for the source of that encouragement. And today, it is my objective to extend the same encouragement to you. And so, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, the title of the message, "Be of good courage." Be of good courage. Let's pray. God in heaven, we come before you thanking you for your blessings toward us. Thank you for your watch care, your provision. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Our heart goes out to many who would love to be here and cannot due to circumstances. And Lord, the sick, that you would heal them, those that are traveling, that you would protect them. And Lord, you just know the needs. And we just cast them before you. And Lord, just draw us unto yourself. Forgive us for our sins. And may everything that's said and done be for your glory. We pray especially for those that are lost today, that they might be convicted of their sin, that they might be saved. And we who are saved might be encouraged and strengthened. Help us to find great encouragement from the message you've laid upon my heart to share today. And we love you today, and we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 will be our text. We already read the verse, so let me give you a little bit about the context. We're going to go way back to the beginning in regard to this, but then we'll notice a little bit more about the immediate context. But I would remind you that Israel had been in bondage in Egypt, and God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver the nation. And as you recall, Pharaoh was not convinced by the signs which Moses showed, and he would not let the people go. At this point, God began to make it very clear that Israel should be released, and he sent plagues upon Egypt. Finally, after the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh let Israel go. God's people were free. Moses was God's instrument to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt and toward the promised land. But not only was Moses their liberator, he was their leader. The responsibility of the children of Israel lay upon his shoulders. As with all leaders, he had a support group which would assist him. He had Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister, a good number of judges, the scripture records for us, and 70 elders, and he had Joshua, the son of Nun. Of course, Joshua is our concern for today. So let's think a little bit more about Joshua. The text is addressed to him. But what about this guy? Go, if you would, back to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. I remind you about Joshua, that Joshua was a military leader. We often forget about this, but the Exodus chapter 17, and I invite you to look at verse 9 and verse 10. As they came up out of Egypt, they were in the way. They had to go fight a battle. And, well, we read Exodus 17, verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So when we think about Joshua, keep in mind he is a military commander. He's a military leader. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. We also find, the Scripture makes it clear for us, and I've already indicated it to you, was that he was Moses' minister. He was a helper. He was an assistant. And this Scripture just makes this statement, Exodus chapter 24, verse 13. And Moses rose up, and his minister, Joshua. And Moses went up into the Mount of God. And so Moses had a helper. He had an assistant. And that assistant was Joshua. Some more about Joshua. Turn, if you would, to Numbers and chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I would remind you that Joshua was one of the 12 spies. You remember Moses sent 12 spies to search out the land? Joshua was one of them. Proof of that is found in Numbers chapter 13. And in verse 8, we have a listing of these spies that were sent. But in verse 8, it says, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Well, skip down to verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, or Yehoshua. And so that's Joshua. And so the 12 went in, searched out the land. And if you recall the story, 10 gave an evil report, 2 gave a positive report. So if you'll turn the page or so and go to chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, we find in verse 37 and verse 38, the 2 people mentioned that gave the good report, they believed God and they were faithful to the Lord. And who was one of the 2? Numbers chapter 14, verse 37 says, even those men that did bring up an evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search the land, lived still. And so as you turn over to Numbers chapter 27, we see a little bit about our main character today and the instruction that's given to him, the fellow by the name of Joshua. Well, we know he was a military leader. We know that he was a minister to Moses. But you also will understand by looking into Numbers chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 15 down through verse 19, because Joshua was God's appointed replacement for Moses. Not anybody could just jump in and fill in that position. God chose that position. So, Numbers chapter 27, look at verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. That's all that Moses was doing the whole time, right? That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep without which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And so when Moses said, listen, I know I'm going to die, somebody needs to take my place, give a leader over Israel, God, so that I want Joshua to take that place. My Spirit is in him. He will be anointed. You charge him. As a matter of fact, if you would turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, he received a charge to take command. Those things did take place. Joshua was anointed by the priests, and he was charged by Moses to take lead of the children of Israel. But Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and verse 23, and he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land, which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Now go to Joshua chapter 1, where our text is found. We find in a general smattering of Old Testament scriptures, as recorded in the book of Pentateuch, a little bit about this fellow by the name of Joshua. Now we come to the immediate context, Joshua chapter 1. And some of the things we'll just see again, but it's found in the passage here before us. First of all, verse 1, we know that Joshua had served under Moses. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. And so he had served and he had followed after Moses. What did he tell him? Well, verse 2, Moses is dead. Now it's your responsibility. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go thou go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. They've reached the land of promise. God says, Joshua, you go over. You take this Israel into the land. It's your responsibility. Skip down to verse 5, Joshua chapter 1. God promised to be with him. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so God said, Joshua, I will be with you. And then in the next few verses, you'll find that he is exhorted to be of good courage. Now in verse 6, you'll find that he's exhorted to be of good courage in order to lead the people. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. But that's not all that he should take courage. He ought to be of good courage. Verse 7, to be obedient to the Lord. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, lead my people. Joshua, obey me. Joshua, you need encouragement and you need to take good courage to be guided by the word of God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not be departed out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua, be of good courage. Listen to me. Respond to me. Be obedient. Obey my word, and I will bless you. That brings us to our text, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. A simple declaration. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Be of good courage. So with the context in mind, both the general and the more specific, with that in mind, courage, my friend. Courage, my friend. Verse 9. Notice, first of all, that God has commanded us. Now, we know that God commanded Joshua, I want you to go in and take my people into the land and protect them, guide them, distribute the land. Now, he says, have not I commanded thee? And you say, well, God hasn't commanded me. Oh, yes, he has. And we're going to express a few comments in regard to that in just a second. But keep in mind that God has commanded you. God commanded Joshua. God has commanded me. God has commanded you. And I think this matter about God commanding us, three things come from this. Number one, God has a plan for us. If God has commands, then he has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a will. And we need to seek that out. Why? Because God does have a plan for us. Secondly, I learned from this that God has revealed that plan. If God has commands, then he has a plan and he's revealed it. He's not going to command us to do something and not tell us what to do. Well, you figure that out. Go ahead and do something and figure that out. No. He says, have not I commanded thee? Joshua knows exactly what God wants because God has revealed it to him. And then the third aspect then, God has commanded us. Command. It is not optional. Joshua does not have the right to say, you know what, Lord, I change my mind. Too late for that. Joshua, I have commanded you. And God has commanded us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've been born again, you've been washed in the blood, you know that you're saved, then dear Christian friend, God has commanded you. You say, well, wherein has God given us commands? I'm not going to look at all these verses, and I only had enough space on the bulletin outline to only offer you like two or three of them. But I want to give you a number of these with some verse references, and we're not going to look them up. But I'll tell you, dear friend, as God's people, God has commanded us. And so listen to just a few of these. It certainly is not an exhaustive list. But listen, what has he commanded us to do? Well, he's commanded us to live godly lives, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God's commanded us to study his word, 2 Timothy 2:15. God's commanded us to witness in his behalf, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. God's commanded us to pray without ceasing, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. More familiar text is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. God's commanded us to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Did you know that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. God's commanded us to give of our money to His service. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. To love others as He has loved us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. We ought to love the brethren. John chapter 15, verse 12. We ought to keep His commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. God commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. You know, the Bible God commands through the Scriptures that we ought to be good employees. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 6. We ought to be salt and light in this world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through verse 16. We're commanded in the Scriptures to be separate from this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Do you know the Bible commands us that we ought to have the mind of Christ? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And we could go on and multiply examples. God has commanded us. We cannot sit back and say, well, you know, as a Christian, I don't know what to do. I don't have any response. My friend, look into the Word of God. There's plenty to do. God has commanded me. God has commanded you. And the truth is, all there is in life and service, being faithful and honoring to God in every aspect of our lives, that's what God wants. So as Christians, you have been commanded. Now, do we need encouragement? Just that brief listing of 14 items that I gave to you, isn't some of that kind of hard to fulfill on occasion? Don't we need encouragement? Absolutely. Yes, we need to be encouraged. And so we look here into Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 9. God says to Joshua, have not I commanded you? You know my will. I've revealed it to you. Haven't I commanded you? Then be of good courage. My friend, we know His will. Then be of good courage. We look into the verse, and God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. See those four terms there? He says, be strong. The word strong in the original language means, properly, the word means to fasten. But that means that it is to seize, it is to be strong upon. Figuratively, it can be used to the idea of the word strengthen or to fortify. But the word can be translated as the word conquer. Therefore, we'll find the word translated in the Old Testament Scriptures sometime as the word confirm or constant or to become mighty or to be stout or to maintain or, as we see in our text, strong. Be strong. Be fastened to the Lord. You be constant. You be mighty. And as we who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ endeavor to serve Him and to love Him and be found faithful day by day, we need to be strong. Be of good courage. Be strong. And He says, be of good courage. Now that next word in the text, the original language, the word means to be alert. And so it is the idea to confirm or to be courageous, to be steadfastly minded. And because of that, you will prevail. It will make you strong. Be of good courage. What was it? One of those, the lion there and the Wizard of Oz? I need courage. we need courage, don't we? Joshua, you're going to lead this people into this land, and you're going to conquer all those enemies that indwell the land, and you're going to take over. You need courage. And I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, as we endeavor to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be strong and we need to be of good courage. Good courage. Then we have a couple negatives. Be not afraid. The word afraid, of course, means to be in awe of. It is to dread. It is to be affrighted. It is to be afraid. It is to fear or to shake terribly. You can become so afraid you just shake. That's the idea behind the word. Now it's in the negative. So he's, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And he says, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. The word in the original language actually means to be prostrate, to lie on your face. So therefore the idea is to break down. And it is to break down by confusion or by fear. So the word is to be afraid or to make afraid, to discourage or dismay or to terrify. See, I see the distinction. There are two different words anyway between afraid and dismayed. Ah, the one you're afraid of, the other will just knock you to your face. And so God speaks to Joshua. Haven't I commanded you? God, I need encouragement then. Okay, well, be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Now, I want you to think of something for just a moment. Entertain this thought. Despite all of his experience and training, Joshua still needed encouragement. This guy has been following God for over 40 years. He has been serving, he has been ministering, he has been laboring, he has seen all the good and all the bad. Talk about experience. Joshua is a seasoned veteran in every aspect of the term. He's mature, he's grown up, he's not 15 or 20 years old. This man has been experienced in labor for 40 years. And before he goes in to take this final task of taking the children of Israel in the land of promise, God said, I've commanded you to do some things, and do not be afraid. You be strong. You be of good courage. Do not be dismayed. Something, isn't it? Guy can have all that experience. And God said, I need to encourage you. You might be saying, well, I've lived a long time, and I've been faithful to the Lord, and I've served and served and seen a lot of things, even more than you have, dear preacher, and that may be the case, but I'll tell you, we all need to be encouraged by God. We need to be strengthened. We need to not be afraid, and we need not be dismayed. We need to take courage, and that's what I endeavor to encourage you with today, is the courage wherewith God encouraged Joshua. And when we look through these four terms that we offer here in verse 9 about the encouragement, there are two positives and there are two negatives. For me anyway, I almost see them as being parallel to each other. Think of it this way. Be strong, be not afraid. Be of good courage, be not dismayed. Ah, Joshua, you be this, don't be that. I submit unto you, are there not reasons why we might be afraid or dismayed? Now, there's no denial here. Joshua doesn't stop and say, now, wait a minute, Lord. Everything's under control. Nothing to be afraid of here. No reason to get discouraged. I'm good with it. You don't see Joshua do that. You know why? There are reasons to be afraid. There are reasons to fear. Joshua doesn't deny it. God just says, don't be that way, though. You be strong, you don't be afraid. You be of good courage and do not be dismayed. I do submit unto you there is a reason not to fear and a reason not to be discouraged. Some people live defeated lives. They just can never seem to get out of the darkness. And what a shame that happens. You say, well, fear grips me. It may be. Discouragement gets a hold of me. Depression and that kind. You know what? There are reasons not to be discouraged and reasons not to be afraid. And what is it? What does God say to Joshua here? Look back into verse 9. The basis for this encouragement is found. Let's read the whole verse so we can pick it up as we go through. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, no matter what you might be afraid of, no need to be. Why? Because I am with you. Two things that are borne out here in this statement. One is his person. The second is his presence. He says, for the Lord thy God. His person. The word Lord in the text you will find in the passage there, at least in the King James translation, you will find it all in caps. They do that to distinguish the terms for God in the Old Testament scriptures between Elohim and between Jehovah. When you find it in all caps, that represents the word Jehovah. And when you don't find it in caps, you find that represents the word Elohim. And what this statement is, for the Lord thy God offers two words for deity here. It is Jehovah Elohim. Elohim is the Almighty God. He is the ruler of all. But Jehovah is the covenant-keeping God. And so what God encourages Joshua with is his person by saying, the Lord thy God. And of course, we understand the scriptures that teach about who God is, and we know that God is a sovereign God. God is a just God. He is a holy God. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is full of grace and mercy. God is long-suffering and compassionate. And on we could go about the characters and the attributes of God. But as Joshua is perched on the point of entering the land of promise and having to fight all these wars, God said, I want you to be strong and of good courage. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Because I, Lord thy God, his person. But what's the good news about his person is his presence. He says, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. God is with us. The creator and the sustainer, the ruler of all, the covenant-keeping God. He's with us. Boy, does that encourage you? Does that give you some strength? He's with us. He's with us as a protector, as a provider. He's with us as a deliverer and as a companion. He comes with us and is with us as a comforter and as an encourager. And anywhere and everywhere you go, God's with you. Whithersoever thou goest. My, what encouragement. I know what that guy was telling me. As you out there doing this for the Lord, God is with you. And do not be afraid. And do not be discouraged. But you be strong and you be of good courage because God is with you. And I take encouragement in that. And I pray that you would find encouragement in that as well. So I submit unto you that as you do what God would have you to do, you be of good courage, for God is with you. Whatever God has planned for your life, and you know the words have been revealed unto you, just some of the commands that we saw before and just referenced, God is with you. So the last part of my message is this, be of good courage. Would you today, dear Christian friend, be of good courage? I'm not saying there isn't a reason to be afraid. There may be. Be of good courage. I submit unto you, first of all, because of who your Lord and Savior is. God has not changed. He is the Lord thy God, Jehovah Elohim. Know who he is. Secondly, be of good courage because he who has commanded you has also promised. My, what comfort we find in that. God, who's given command, has promised. And so I say, be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Take courage, my friend. Take courage. Why? John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Again in John 15, for without me you can do nothing. John 16, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. I have commanded you, I will be with you. You can do it, my friend. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Remember Peter, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Remember Hebrews 13:5, the last part of the verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, I've offered you some commands that God has given. And you might be saying, but it's so difficult and I have this trouble and there's so much affliction in the world and I just really don't know what to do sometimes. I understand that. But God has commanded us. So we need to be of good courage. We need to be strong. Let's not be discouraged. Let's not be afraid. And I'll remind you lastly, God promises us. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Dear Christian, today, be of good courage. Be of good courage. You have every reason to do so. May God give us grace and strength in these days. May He give us courage and power and ability, and let us be found true and faithful. And if you're here and you're not saved, your biggest need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He left heaven, came to earth nearly 2,000 years ago to die on a cross as a sinner, though He never sinned. He was crucified, buried, risen again. He gives eternal life to all who believe. Would you repent and believe today? Would you trust in Him? Would you call upon Him to be your Lord and Savior? Would you bow the knee to Jesus? Sinner, would you be saved? Christian, be of good courage. I'd like for us to stand. Father in heaven, we thank You for the day. Thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word. I pray that we might find great encouragement from Your Word today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us eternal life. Thank You for being with us. Thank You for never leaving us nor forsaking us. And as we endeavor to serve You and to be found faithful and to be found true, God, give us all the strength and the courage we need so that You would be honored and You would be glorified. We do pray for those that are lost today that they might be saved. We ask that You would convict them and draw them and bring them to Christ even today. We'll give You the glory and the honor and the praise. It is due unto You and to none other. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.